Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. Tonight we are diving into a fiery showdown, shaking the foundations of international trade and diplomacy. The U.S. president has thrown down the gauntlet, announcing a stinging 25% tariff on Indian goods with an additional unspecified penalty aimed squarely at India's energy and defense ties with Russia. It's not just a trade dispute, it's a geopolitical earthquake, and India is standing our ground with unyielding resolve so far. Now, Trump's grievances are clear. He's furious about India's high tariffs on U.S. goods, calling them among the highest in the world, and he's doubled down on India's deep-rooted relationship with Russia, raising questions. He's pointed fingers at New Delhi for being one of Russia's largest buyers of crude oil, over 35% of India's imports, and for our long-standing reliance on Russian military equipment from fighter jets to missile systems. In his words posted on Truth Social, these ties fueled Russia's war in Ukraine, and India must pay the price. But let's unpack this. Is this really about Ukraine, or is it a calculated move to strong-arm a rising global power into submission? India's response? Defiant, unflinching. The Petroleum Minister, Hardeep Puri, has dismissed panic, saying India imports from nearly 40 countries and will deal with any disruptions. With a diversified oil supply and reserves for up to 3 months, India is not terribly worried at the moment about these threats. The Commerce Ministry, meanwhile, is studying the fallout, but vows to protect India's farmers, entrepreneurs and small businesses in any trade deal with America. These three categories are, of course, our economic backbone. So we are looking not just at oil, but the trade deal with America as well. Where is that? It's been going on for a while, not yet been signed. But here's the truth. India is not just a market. It's a sovereign giant with a billion plus people to power. And that's the position from which these negotiations with America must happen. Well, the prospects of U.S. Trade tariffs on India are very, very real, and perhaps the biggest concern right now going over and above the entire tariff issue is the potential of sanctions by the United States on India for the continued import of Russian oil. Joining us now for her views, a wonderful guest, Nisha Biswal, is a partner of the Asia Group and a former Assistant Secretary of State for South and Central Asia. Ma'am, thanks very much for being with us. I think many over here in India would have expected potential tariffs. And, you know, there's a process of negotiations and there is a talk which is going on. But it does go beyond that when you look at the U.S. having problems about India's import of Russian oil. This has been discussed and debated many times in the past. And it appears that if America sanctions India on that, then that sort of hits at the relationship itself. How would you look at that?
Well, look, it's certainly unfortunate that the conversations have taken this turn. However, I would perhaps try to keep all of this in perspective. The United States and India have long had conversations about some of the sources of Indian energy that have been of concern for the United States. We worked through these issues in the past with respect to import of Iranian oil. And certainly I think the conversations on, Russian energy imports had been ones that had been had in the prior administration as well as this one. And I think there's a path forward. We certainly, there's an understanding of, India's historic and legacy relationship with Russia as well as, some of the sensitivities around energy. However, these concerns have been there in the past as well. I would hope that the two governments could work through some of those issues. I know India has been increasing its import of U.S. energy, both crude and LNG, and I think that that's also a pathway that could perhaps help to soften some of these concerns on the U.S. side.
But then, it needs to be price sensitive. India is doing this to run our economy in a sense, so any import of energy from the United States would need to match the price point that Russia sets India. That would be very difficult for American companies to be able to do.
I think that this is a conversation that's going to be had in the context of the broader trade conversation. There are sensitivities on the Indian side and certainly price points that the Indians are looking at. However, there's also an ability to carve out a larger trade package that perhaps creates some accommodation on the Indian side for some movement on issues that the U.S. side is looking for movement on. So I think these are conversations that hopefully the two sides are continuing to have behind closed doors, despite the fact that perhaps the rhetoric has been ratcheted up in the public domain.
There are some who say that Russia also has its options now. India is the largest importer of Russian oil presently. And this would hurt Russia incredibly if India were to stop that altogether. Therefore, if Russia were to retaliate, and this is just speculative, but you know there are pieces which are now appearing, the potential shutting down of the CPC pipeline from Kazakhstan, where American oil majors Chevron and Exxon hold big stakes, could be deeply problematic for America. You know, this is something which Reuters, in a detailed piece, have come out with as a possible impact. So this goes beyond India and Russia. It could impact the United States as well.
Certainly. And look, I don't think anyone is expecting that India is going to make a unilateral and comprehensive action. I think that these are negotiations that will factor in the global dynamics. And I think the Indians are aware of that. I think the U.S. is aware of that. But it is not in isolation. And I don't think that the energy question is being addressed in isolation. I think it's part of a larger conversation on the contours of the U.S.-India relationship. India has, moved in recent years to deepen its ties with the United States, its defense ties, its energy ties, its economic ties. That is something that we would like to see continue to happen. We recognize, I think, that there has been a broad and diverse set of relationships that India has had across all of those fronts. The Trump administration has made it clear that it would like to accelerate the pace of that movement towards a U.S.-India partnership and relationship across all of those domains. The president has used perhaps more robust tactics and more public tactics in trying to push that conversation. But this is a conversation that the U.S. and India have been trying to work through for successive administrations, and I would keep it in that context despite the fact that perhaps we're having some pretty terse conversations in a public manner right now.
And that's what would, again, concern many here in New Delhi for President Trump to start talking about dead-end economies in the context of Russia and India. It's unnecessary, some would say. We have a great relationship with the United States. So the moment people start adding adjectives, that also the president of the U.S., then it complicates, work which so many people have built up on. You built on this relationship. You worked on it. In the past, and to sort of push that away in a sense, even if it is for the moment, it would concern a lot of people, I suspect, in Washington as much as New Delhi.
I certainly, I don't disagree with anything that you said, Vishnu. I think the challenge here is that you have a president who tends to enjoy having these more robust and confrontational conversations. I don't think it means that he has moved away from the U.S.-India partnership, but he has engaged in, very, very hardball tactics with the closest of partners and allies. And it does not mean that you can't then turn around and reach an agreement and move forward on areas that are important to both countries. I hope that both the U.S. and Indian government keep that firmly in mind. And I think that the public in both countries need to keep that context in mind, that yes, we're seeing some very difficult conversations play out in a public sphere. It does not mean that the relationship is in jeopardy by any means. I think it means that the president sees a trade deal and an economic partnership with India as a high priority. He's willing to engage directly on that and perhaps in a manner that is not comfortable for many of us who have engaged in a much more back channel private conversation and having these kinds of conversations. But that's his style, that's his manner, and you know, he's the president, so that's what one needs to adapt to. On the other hand, I think the United States and India have so much that, you know, in alignment that brings us together. One should not lose sight of that and continue to work through this. Our two economies are increasingly interdependent. There is so much gain to be had in deeper economic collaboration. There are concerns that need to be addressed with respect to some of India's ties on the Russia side, but I think that they can be managed and should be managed.
A final question. India sort of values our strategic autonomy. Our foreign policy is one of non-alignment. It always has been. They don't use that word anymore, but that's essentially what it is. So in as much as it's wonderfully, it's great with America, it's also very strong with Russia. President Trump also referred to India's historic military purchases from Russia. Now, you can't end that overnight. Not that India would necessarily want to. You've got more than 272 Sukhoi 30 fighters. You've got several thousand Russian T-90 tanks. So you can't switch that off. You cannot replace that overnight. Doesn't there need to be an acceptance of that at the highest levels in the United States that, look, in as much as America and India have a growing military relationship, that India's relationship with Russia from a military standpoint cannot be a showstopper to everything else in the works?
Well, so over successive administrations, there has been that understanding and that accommodation, but also a strong desire to see a deeper alignment and collaboration, a partnership on the defense side with the United States. India's approach has been to leverage many different partners, some of whom are strategically of great concern to the United States. That does limit how deep the United States can be and the level of technology that the United States can share and the amount of partnership that we can engage in. So I think that those are issues that we have been trying to work through with the United States and India, and I think we can work through those. I think some of the technologies are going to be impacted in terms of tech transfer and, you know, some of the areas in which we want to see deeper integration with the United States and India and partnership across, you know, various domains. The United States during the Obama administration named India as an all domains partner, a strategic partner in the defense sector. And we certainly would like to see that relationship grow further. But there will be these areas of tension that need to get worked through. And I hope that both governments are able to do that.
All right, Ms. Biswal, wonderful speaking to you. Thank you very much indeed for speaking to us. Thanks very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, the U.S. decision to impose not just tariffs on India, but perhaps additional tariffs on India's continued import of Russian oil creates headaches over here, but would have international ramifications as well. We'll explain why. I'm joined by Tatiana Kokreva. She's a senior Russian journalist, Professor Andrew Latham, Alexander Slater, who's the managing director at Capstrom, D.P. Srivastava, former Indian ambassador, and Gaurav Sansawal, a fellow at CSIS. Thank you all very much for being with us. Alexander Slater, given the fact that Russia, to a large extent, you know, is quite happy with the fact that they have this thriving oil transfer to India. Do they have options as well? For example, could they potentially hit assets in oil exports, which could impact American interests?
Hi, Vishnu. It's nice to see you. In terms of the India-Russia oil trade, I'd say that as we think about this, India's appetite for Russian oil has been highly responsive to U.S. policy. And so I'm not entirely sure that what we see over the last few days is going to endure much longer. I think that you've heard Minister Puri make some comments about India's ability to procure oil from other sources. And for this to be something that the two sides can come to a resolution on if they work together.
No, the reason I say so is because what if, and this question is to Tatiana, what if Russia were to retaliate by closing the CPC pipeline from Kazakhstan, where U.S. oil majors Chevron and Exxon, and this is, you know, on the basis of a detailed Reuters piece which has now emerged, you know, they hold big stakes there. And therefore, if Russia were to respond, this couldn't be the end of this, you know, this geostrategic battle that's being played out.
Well, Vishnu, and thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. The problem with this geostrategic battle right now is generally Donald Trump and his, you know, inability to be diplomatic about it, so to speak. You know, he doesn't take, as much of a bully as he is, he doesn't take any, you know, strong responses kind of well. So would it be the end of this geopolitical battle? And again, we're speculating here because, you know, the Reuters pieces are, but obviously Russia has options to retaliate. That kind of creates a larger question of, you know, when back when India started buying Russian oil at this extent, you know, Prime Minister Modi stated very clearly that this was about strategic autonomy.
Yeah.
And I believe that it is a hugely important point for all of the global south, and especially, you know, for stronger players emerging on the market. What is going on right now, this geopolitical battle, it's not just about Russia and the US, and it's much, much larger than this, you know, because what happens to this strategic autonomy? You know, India is, in this case, bullied into not buying Russian oil.
Yeah.
And it is larger than, again, just India and the US, Russia and the US. It is about a multipolar world that is under threat right now.
No, I take that, Alexander Slater. The fact is that Russia does have options. And, you know, I mean, a combined stoppage of CPC and Russian flows to India could create a disruption of 3.5% of global supply. That could result in fuel inflation, particularly diesel, as I understand it, elsewhere. So does Trump not understand, you know, the issues over here? It goes well beyond India. You know, the international flow of oil goes all over. It's not limited from Russia to India. Indian refiners refine the oil and then send it, and that serves countries in the West.
It's true, Vishnu. The price of oil is a world price, and it's usually set by supply and demand. And so if you were to take some supply off the market, it would cause the price of oil to go up, especially from sources where the demand was diverted. At the same time, it's important to remember that Russia is spending enormous amounts of money on a war in Ukraine, where it invaded in 2022. And that has really shaped the Russian economy. And as a result of that, Russia's not really in a position to stop obtaining foreign currency through cutting off oil sales to the world. I would be extremely surprised if Russia did this, because it would put an already precarious economy, where inflation is sky high and interest rates are rising, in an even more dangerous position. You know, if you look back just, I believe, last week or the week before, Russia suspended exports of gasoline because the price of gasoline has risen so quickly that people in Russia can't afford it anymore. So just think about that. If Russia is preventing commodities that it needs in order to fight the war effort and for survival day to day because of price increases, it's not in a position to really cut off its source of foreign currency that would cause even more inflation.
Okay. Gaurav Sansewal, what are the options that Delhi has at this stage? Because, you know, there's also been a statement today where Delhi has come out strongly in favor of the relationship with Russia. Our bilateral relationships with various countries stand on their own merit, should not be seen from the prism of a third country. That, in this case, obviously, is linked to the United States. India and Russia have a steady and time-tested partnership. And on the entire issue of defense procurements, because that's something that Trump had also spoken about, India says the sourcing of our defense requirements is determined solely by our national security imperatives and strategic assessments. Therefore, New Delhi isn't going to be a walkover in this case. But that doesn't leave us in a good way with America, does it?
No, Vishnu, I think diversification is going to be the answer from India's side. And so touching first on the oil issue, there are two things that New Delhi would be looking at doing. One is, you know, President Trump wants Delhi to buy more from the U.S. directly. And we saw that in 2016, India was not buying much, but by 2020, India was buying about 6% from the U.S. So India would probably look to buy a little bit more from the U.S. But secondly, to your point on CPC pipelines and other things, the beneficiary here will actually be the Middle East. So if India wanes off a little bit on Russia, because India buys through direct sea routes from the Middle East through the Strait of Hormuz and Arabian Sea, the direct beneficiaries will be the powers in the Middle East. So I think India, and those are going to be more price competitive as well. So I think India's first response will be, yes, if you want us to diversify away from Russia, we will, but price competitiveness matters. And so while we may buy a little bit more from the US, we would need to buy a lot more from the Middle East as well. On the defense side as well, I think it's been long acknowledged that price is, again, a crucial factor for India as it thinks about diversification. So while it is moving away slowly in the last few decades, a little bit away from Russia, it is not going to you know, be bracketed into just any one country, because it has to look at pricing options and it has to look at technology transfer options and things like that. So I think it will be rocky. Things are going to be fluid, Vishnu. But I think slowly, given the market and pricing realities, I think the point that will where US and India will meet on these issues is somewhere in the between, where things will change a little bit more, just as they did last time around, because these irritants have been around a while. Price caps, for instance, on oil were by themselves a bit of a compromise that the international community did to keep the prices stable. So I think we will have to see some kind of a compromise or a negotiation in the few weeks, and it cannot remain as much of an irritant as it seems to be right now.
Professor Latham, India and the U.S. have built up a very close strategic relationship over the years, premised on decades of hard work, foundational agreements, deep technology sharing, deep military equipment purchases by India, et cetera, semiconductors is a space that they're looking at, green energy, I could go on. Is it in America's interests to actually take steps which might end up impacting not just trade, but the relationship itself?
Yes, I mean, I can understand, although I don't agree with the Trump administration's approach to this. They want India fully and wholeheartedly on Team USA. And that's part of the Indo-Pacific balancing China piece. So thinking strictly geopolitical terms, strategic terms, that's clearly what the United States wants here. In order to get that, you have to wean India off its arms dependence, to the extent that that's still a thing, on Russia, and its willingness to purchase Russian oil. So that's what the U.S. wants here. It also wants, sort of geoeconomically, it wants to sell more oil to India. And it wants to, at the end of the day, put a lot of pressure on Vladimir Putin so that Trump can live up to his promise of ending that war within 24 hours. He's only 7 months late, but you take my point. But it's not going to work because Trump understands multipolarity, but he doesn't understand multi-alignment, which is a recent phenomenon in some ways, but in India's case has been the name of the game for a long, long time. Sometimes India does deals with and is part of the West, and sometimes it does deals with and is part of, historically, the Soviet bloc, but now within the Russian sphere to some extent. But here's the thing Trump doesn't understand. He understands it in the American case, but not in the Indian case. India will pursue its own national interests, and if that means acquiring relatively inexpensive oil from Russia, it will do that. If that means not reforming the agricultural sector because of domestic politics, the Indian government will avoid doing that as well. So Trump, really, he's not terribly well-traveled. He's not terribly cosmopolitan. He doesn't quite understand how other countries operate, the culture, the politics, etc. I understand what he's trying to accomplish, but America and the American president's approval ratings in India are tumbling at the moment. They've been steady for decades, pretty positive. Yeah. And now they're tumbling. So it's turning out to be a counterproductive strategy vis-a-vis Putin, vis-a-vis Modi, and vis-a-vis America's place in the world.
Ambassador Srivastav, what are India's options?
Shom, let me first clarify two, three points. The American oil sanctions will not, the impact will not be limited to only India,
yeah,
because oil is a fungible commodity. And the sanctions will have the effect of removing 5 million barrels per day of Russian oil. If you take the global picture, and let's keep in mind that this comes at a time when the American sanctions against Iran have also been tightened. We are not buying any Iranian crude, but China is buying about 1.5 million to 2 million barrels per day. So what we are looking at is removing something like 6 to 7 million barrels per day of oil at a time when the total global consumption is 105 million barrels per day, or roughly 5%. There is no alternate source from which this quantity of oil can come. So the impact will not simply be on Indian economy, it will have an impact on global economy, including American consumer. Now, this is exactly the reason why Janet Yellen, the Treasury Secretary in the previous U.S. administration, had come up with this very clever idea of oil price cap. That is where you put pressure on, you reduce Russia's revenue, but you do not disturb the global oil situation. Now, that balance, delicate balance, will be disturbed in case the new U.S. sanctions come in. The Europeans still want to preserve that. So they have reduced the oil price cap from $60 to $47.6 per barrel. But the American, you know, whatever the bill which is going through the Congress, and I understand it has overwhelming support, so it will go through, does not, you know, observe this delicacy. Now, the second point I want to make is that Ukraine war has not only affected the oil situation, it's also affected the gas. And the West, while promoting sanctions on Russian oil, has been extremely wary about imposing sanctions on Russian gas. Russian LNG accounts for 17% of Europe's consumption today, despite the fact that overall, the Europe's, you know, import of Russian gas has come down from 40% to whatever, 17% now, or 20%. So this is not simply about Ukraine. This is, you know, this is politicizing oil.
Sure.
Now, the third thing, so let's take the morality out of it. You know, that Russia is bleeding Ukraine and so on. You know, that the gas purchase also feeds into that. And till now, till last month, Europe allowed processing of Russian oil and export of petrochemicals to Europe. And in fact, there were also export of petrochemicals based on Russian oil to America. So, you know, let's not talk about morality. Now, let's be very clear about what are the options for different sites.
Sure.
One is that $1 increase in the price of oil increases India's annual import bill by something like 14,000 crores, or roughly $2 billion for $1. And I was just looking at the figure, you know, since past 1 month, there has been an increase in the price of Indian oil basket by $5.95, which is, so we can imagine, it's already more than 11, it's already added up. In case this trend continues, it will be at least $10 to $11 billion. And if the sanctions actually go into effect, then the effect will be much longer.
Sure.
In fact, the effect could be as dramatic as the second oil price shock. What happened then? 5% of the global oil supply was removed and you had the second oil price shock. Now, what are the India's options? On tariff, let me state.
Ambassador, let me just hold on, keep the strike rotating. You make a lot of very important points. Let me just get a few reactions. Tatiana, what are Russia's options at this stage? You briefly alluded to that. How would Russia be looking at this, particularly since Russia, as you know, the ambassador correctly mentions, continues to export a great deal of the gas requirements of Europe?
Well, not just gas, you know, Vishnu, as this has been already said, you know, even the oil that India was importing, and not only India, not all of it went to India. You know, there were other countries buying it from India then. So I believe that, and this is, for me, you know, the one thing that you need to see is the reaction from the leadership of the country. So I do think there's a lot of things in negotiations right now. However, once again, I have to say that, you know, you've seen Donald Trump go, first of all, he's won the war in, you know, he's ended the war in 24 hours. Then, you know, he says a lot of things. I'm not saying that these sanctions are not going to take effect, but I am saying that in case of Donald Trump announcing anything, the best strategy has been to wait and see what he's going to announce next. Whether he's going to take a step back, whether he's going to think of what his actions are doing to everything. And I believe, from what I've seen, this is exactly the stance that Russia has been taking. You know,
sure.
We can't take anything he says at face value. You know, it just doesn't work this way. As for, you know, the actual reaction and the actual steps that the Russian leadership is going to take, I would hate to speculate.
Sure.
But I do believe that as a massive exporter with strong ties, not just to the countries of the global south, it has options again.
Sure.
Point is which ones the leadership is going to take, but you know as well as I do, this is something that we'll need to see play out once we're sure where Trump is going with this.
Alexander Slater, pragmatically speaking, would you suggest that New Delhi's best policy at this stage is to just wait and see how things happen? That what Donald Trump says in the morning may not be the same as what he says in the evening?
Vishnu, thanks for the question, but I'm not in the business of advising either the U.S. government or the government of India these days. That was in my former job. These days I help businesses understand what's happening, where policy is going, and how to build strategy around
it. I know. I'm still asking it, though.
Listen, I think the best course for India and the United States remains to continue to negotiate. There's another week before the reciprocal tariffs go into effect. August 7th is the date that they're supposed to go into effect. We do have a lot of loud words going back and forth. And I think, you know, it's built up over time where behind the scenes, the United States has expressed substantial frustration across administrations with India's approach on buying oil from Russia. And, you know, if we go back to before Russia's invasion of Ukraine, India didn't buy Russian oil in large amounts. In fact, it bought most of its oil from the Middle East. And so the outcome, the reason why India is buying oil from Russia, is not based on some legacy, good feeling between the two countries. It's based on the fact that after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the policies put in place by the EU and the United States has forced the price of Russian oil down. So India has been getting a great deal on Russian oil. And so if that stops happening, right, that's going to change. And again, I would say that India's policy has been very responsive to what Europe and the U.S. has done vis-a-vis the price of Russian oil. And so I do think that the best course for both countries is to continue to talk. I think you've seen that India's response has been very level-headed, notwithstanding whatever remarks it's made about strategic autonomy and our ability to negotiate with other countries. It has been quite conciliatory in the face of the tweets that have come out of, or pardon me, the posts on Truth Social that have come out of the president. And so I think India is taking the right approach here, continuing to negotiate, and looking to create a deal because you've seen multiple other countries been able to reach an agreement with Donald Trump.
No, and I think that's important because there have been these tough negotiations and the hope was that they'd close out a deal by now. And hopefully that should still take place. But, you know, I mean, any mention of or any question marks on India's strategic autonomy. That won't work with New Delhi one way or the other. We leave it there. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Good night.